You know him, I think, as a great patriot and a not so great brewer. But did you know about his profound devotional life? You know, he was a fierce leader of the Sons of Liberty and a founding father of this nation. But did you know that he married a minister's daughter? And that his Christian faith, his Puritan faith, was at the core of his life, at the core of his patriotism, and at the core of his politics? You know he presided over the meetings that led to the Boston Tea Party, but did you know that he presided over family worship in his home twice a day, every day throughout his life? You know that Samuel Adams was a delegate to the Continental Congress, that he helped guide the Congress toward issuing the Declaration of Independence. He helped to draft the Articles of Confederation and the Massachusetts Constitution. But did you know this? Did you know that when he was in Boston, Samuel Adams never missed worshiping in our meeting house? Samuel Adams' seat in the pews of the Old South Meeting House was never vacant, no matter the weather, and hear this, no matter who was preaching that day. Samuel Adams served his country as the president of the Massachusetts Senate, the clerk of the House of Representatives, the third lieutenant governor of the Commonwealth, and our fourth governor. But did you know that upon his death, his friends noted with tenderness that Samuel Adams was born, baptized, and died on the Lord's Day? You know, I think, that Samuel Adams was a great man, a great patriot, with a backbone of steel and a heart of fire and a pen as sharp and swift as any sword. But did you know this? That before every single meal throughout his life, regardless of those with whom he was supping, Samuel Adams paused, bowed his head, folded his hands, and returned thanks to God, creator and provider of the world's bounty. You may know, you probably know, that Samuel Adams played a major role in promoting free public education in the colonies. Not only for boys, but he also risked the ridicule and incurred resentment for arguing that girls too, and American Indians, should be afforded the same excellent free public education. Did you know that he despised slavery as repugnant to the heart of God? Did you know that Samuel Adams heralded the Christian church as a most excellent school of morality? That he understood the Christian life, the life you and I seek to lead, a life of worship, Bible reading, devotions, prayer, repentance, and almsgiving. That he understood this life as the means to a good and noble character. Did you know that he cherished the church as an instructor of humility and kindness, self-control and moderation, industry and fortitude? And did you know, I wonder, that our Samuel Adams attended ecclesiastical councils as a representative of this congregation? While serving as our lieutenant governor, Samuel Adams made time to break away from work, to pack his bags, to mount his horse, and to ride as far as Concord, New Hampshire, and Roxbury, Massachusetts, and there to participate in and vote at ecclesiastical councils, that is, at the examination of those in neighboring towns proposed for ordained ministry. In a sermon preached in 1873, Jacob Manning, the 15th minister of this church, said of Samuel Adams, and I quote, "His mind was imbued with piety. His religion was rational, cultivated by science, and it was free from bigotry." Edward Everett, one time president of Harvard, one-time governor of Massachusetts and U.S. congressman, said of Samuel Adams that in all the excitement and the turmoil of the anxious days preceding the explosion at Lexington and Concord, Samuel Adams was among the few who never lost his balance. And Edward Everett attributes it to this, to what he calls Samuel Adams' religious tranquility. The father of the American Revolution, the guy who poured tea into the harbor, religious tranquility. And Harry, did you know that Samuel Adams was a singer? Choir, did you know that Samuel Adams was the one who often sat with the choir in the stalls, chose the tune to be sung with the psalm, set the pitch, and got us going, lifting our voices in hearty praise, doing one of the acts he most loved, offering praise to Almighty God. So it is election season in the great nation Samuel Adams had so strong a hand in shaping. And because it is election season, the Faith at the Crossroads Task Force, a task force of our vision for the 21st century, presents this afternoon a forum entitled Politics, What's Faith Got to Do with It? You will hear from several Old Southers who will help us to reflect together and aloud on this most pertinent and most American question. Politics, what's faith got to do with it? And if Samuel Adams were here today, and if we were to pose that question to him, this is what I think he would say swiftly and clearly. He would say that my faith in God, my religion, has everything, everything, everything to do with my politics. Samuel Adams was intimately acquainted with biblical personages, from Abraham to Amos, from Job to Jeremiah, from Mark to Matthew and the Marys. He knew a great many of the Psalms of David by heart. He could recollect each parable, recite the Beatitudes, and declaim on the Ten Commandments. Samuel Adams was a man of prayer, a man of the church, and a man of God. The precepts of God and the teachings of Jesus were engraved on his heart, were ready on his tongue, and were foremost in his mind. And here is what Samuel Adams believed about faith and politics. He believed that God would protect America and Americans so long as we remained virtuous. That was the deal. That was the bargain as he understood it. That was the covenant, the arrangement, a two-way arrangement between God and the people of this land. God would protect us so long as we held up our side of the bargain, so long as we strove to be virtuous. And Samuel Adams derived this belief from the biblical story of the book of Exodus. So just as God had stood by the Israelites, supported and protected and guided them, and moved them from slavery to freedom, God would continue with them so long as they remained in covenant with God, virtuous and good. Now, many of you may know that on October 26, 1884, our forebears in this sanctuary on a Sunday installed and honored Samuel Adams with the plaque that's back there. I'm going to read from it. It says, Samuel Adams, a member of this church, born September 16, 1722, died October 1st, 1803. And then it says this, to give his history at full length would be to give a history of the American Revolution. To give Samuel Adams' history at full length would be to give a history of the American Revolution, which is in part a history of Christians who sought freedom and liberation because that is what they had learned from God and knew in the Bible. As we continue our journey through our Christian hymnody, as we approach an American genre, the Negro spirituals, the first is Hush, Hush, Somebody's Calling My Name. It was a code song. If a slave had run away and if the slave masters or the bounty hunters were coming near, the colleagues would sing, hush, hush, meaning lay low, stay down. We'll let you know when it's safe to move to the next space, but hush, hush for now. And Steal Away to Jesus, also a code song, sung to Nat Turner's co-conspirators, a signal that tonight they would hold a clandestine meeting. Steal away, steal away. We'll see you tonight at the meeting. And here's what I imagine right now. I imagine that Samuel Adams, from his pew in heaven, is setting the pitch and joining us, joining his voice with our voices as we sing these great spirituals, songs of Christian liberation.